Hebrews chapter 18. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this morning. We just pray, God, that as we go into your word, you speak, and Holy Spirit, may you speak deep into our hearts. Soften our hearts, Lord, to hear what you have to say today, God. And yeah, let us take your words, Lord, and really put it into practice and let the truth speak to us and give us life, Father, life as you have intended. We thank you. We love you. In your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Numbers 18. I'll read from verse 1 to, say, 24. So the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's household with you shall bear the guilt in connection with the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the guilt in connection with your priesthood. But bring with you also your brothers, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you, while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. And they shall thus attend to your obligation and the obligation of all the tent, but they shall not come near to the furnishings of the sanctuary and the altar, or both they and you will die. They shall be joined with you and attend to the obligations of the tent of meeting for all the service of the tent, but an outsider may not come near you. So you shall attend to the obligations of the sanctuary and the obligations of the altar, so that there will be no longer be wrath on the sons of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your fellow Levites from among the sons of Israel. They are a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord, to perform the service for the tent of meeting. But you and your sons with you shall attend to the priesthood for everything concerning the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform the service. I am giving you the priesthood as a bestowed service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Now behold, I myself have given you charge of my offerings, even all the holy gifts of the sons of Israel. I have given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual allotment. This shall be yours from the most holy gifts reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, even every grain offering and every sin offering and every guilt offering, which they shall render to me, shall be most holy for you and for your sons. As for the most holy gifts, you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the offering of their gift, even all the wave offerings of the sons of Israel. I have given them to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. All the best of the fresh oil and the best of the fresh wine and of the grain, the first fruits of those which they give to the Lord, I give to you. The first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Every first issue of the womb of all flesh, whether man or animal, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. As to the redemption price, from a month old you shall redeem them, by your valuation, 5 shekels in silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of an ox, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat you shall not redeem, they are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar, and shall offer up their fat and smoke as an offering by fire for a soothing aroma to the Lord. Their meat shall be yours. It shall be yours like the breast of a wave offering and like the right thigh. All the offerings of the holy gifts which the sons of Israel offer to you, I have given to you and your sons and your daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and your descendants with you." Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for the service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. The sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting, or they will bear the sin and die. Only the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel." Amen. Whew, that was a long passage. So this one's a pretty straightforward passage. So out of Jacob's 12 sons, There is actually one son that does not receive an inheritance in the promised land. And this is evident in this passage. So that's the son, Levi. Actually, if you read through the Bible, Jacob had 14 sons. I know that sounds a little weird, but with Joseph, he actually took Joseph's two sons and called them his own. And you can read that in Exodus as Jacob is about to die. And so he calls them his own sons, so that's why he has 14 sons. But that's not the point. So the Levites were set apart by God to carry out the service of the tabernacle. And this happened as a result of Exodus 32, when Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God. And when he came down, he saw the golden calf and everyone worshiping the golden calf. So he called, who is here to stand for the Lord? And the Levites answered the call and slaughtered the people that were worshiping the golden calf. And as a result of that, that is why God has set them apart for his service, for the service of his tabernacle. And as a result of being in service for God, they did not have an inheritance in the promised land, or they were not allotted a portion. But despite that, God still took care of them and gave them an inheritance. And this is what we read here in Numbers 18. Their inheritance would come from the tithes of Israel in verse 21. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance. Now you think about how much tithes were given to the tribe of Levi or to the temple, meaning the offerings, the guilt offering, the sin offering, the grain offering, the first fruits, the fresh oil, the fresh wine. You think about it, if you look at Numbers chapter 2, verse 32, it numbers among the able men of Israel 603,550 able men. So if one man were to give one cattle each, that's a lot of cows. So you can just imagine the number of tithes that the priests would, or the Levites would have received. And this was their perpetual allotment. So this wasn't only during the time that they were in the wilderness, but when they entered into the promised land and when their numbers grew and they became a large nation, that the Levites will continue receiving this allotment from God, this inheritance. So they were very well off. And that's why, later on in the Bible, you see that the Levites or their Levitical order becomes a little bit corrupt because they receive so much wealth and they would just hoard it for themselves, as opposed to, really treating it as this, in some sense, a measure of grace from God, how God had taken care of them despite them not having a allotted portion amongst within the promised land. So that's great and all, but what does that have to do with us? Because we should make all these messages relevant. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is a pretty well-known passage. And Peter is saying, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So Peter in this passage is referring to believers, meaning us as Christians. We are the priesthood now. So Peter is actually drawing from a passage in Isaiah. Isaiah is chapter 61, verse 6. "But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God." So we've always see this kind of connection that we are now the priesthood. We are ministers before God, and we do the same service as the Levitical priesthood would do. We minister before the God, we minister before the Lord, and this isn't just limited to, clergy or pastors or like staff members at church, but it's everyone. Everyone is a minister before the Lord. And as a priesthood, God promises us his provisions. In Isaiah chapter 6, or 61, verse 6, as it continues, "You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast." And continues in verse 7, "Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over the portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. everlasting joy will be theirs. So this is pretty much in line with what Numbers 18 says. The inheritance will be plentiful for the priesthood. Not only was it plentiful, because you think about the tithes of Israel being given to the priesthood from, you know, it says 600,000 men, but that's just the men. There's also sons and, you know, older men that were not able. And the number was very large. So you think about just how much was being given to the tabernacle in terms of the sacrifices. So not only was this plentiful, but it was also the best of the best. Because it was the tithe. So it wasn't I'll give God what, you know, I can afford. But it was within the book of the law, God was very specific in what qualified as a tithe. It was first fruit. You always hear that they were unblemished. If it is not blemished, then you should not offer it. And it becomes, I forget the exact wording, but God is not pleased with the offering. God was asking for a tithe that was actually worth something, something that would be very valuable. That's why David has his attitude when he takes a threshing floor. He goes, I will not offer to the Lord what costs me nothing. So it should cost us something. So the tithes that the priesthood were receiving from the Israelites were the best of the best. And who wouldn't want that? You know, and us as a priesthood now, we also receive from God the best of the best. Although sometimes we may not understand it to be like that, but to God, that is what is best for us, right? But what is this passage really saying? Or, you know, I think the thing that this passage is really pointing at isn't necessarily to the blessings that we receive from God as a result of us being the priesthood. And a lot of times we say, you know, we focus on God, then he'll bless us with everything. And we kind of tend to get sidetracked by receiving this blessing because we like, you know, blessings. Who wouldn't like blessings? Who wouldn't want to be provided for? And a lot of times we craft messages to kind of focus on that point, that when we are in the service of God, we will be blessed. And we look towards that as opposed to, you know, what God is really trying to get us to do. I guess the question I wanted to ask is, you know, how many of you came in here today with a mindset that you are of the priesthood? Because that's what Numbers 18 is really talking about. God is saying, because you belong to the priesthood, this is what will be yours. But the condition is, you belong to the priesthood. That's why he starts off Numbers 18 with the duties of the Levites. This is what you are required to do. And because of this, you will get all these things. And he bookends this, you know, from verses 1 to 7. He talks about the duties. And this, again, is repeated in 21 to and 22. That they, the Levites, are the ones to perform the service in the tent of meeting. And it was a privilege for the Levites to come and serve. They were the ones that were set apart. They were the ones that were chosen. Now the sons, in verse 22, it says, the sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting, or they will bear sin and die. It's not that, you know, they were any more special, or it's not that they were any more sinful, it's just that God had chosen the Levites to do this work. And, you know, similarly for us, God has chosen us to do this work. God has set us apart, that we've been given this privilege. And oftentimes, you know, I don't think that, you know, even for me, sometimes I kind of forget the gravity of the position that I've been placed in, regardless of whether I'm pastor, but even just as a Christian, that we've been given this such special anointing and such position of privilege to do the work of God. And so I ask myself, you know, do I treat my life, my everyday life, as if I'm ministering before the Lord? And, you know, do I really let it flow out of every single aspect of my life? And quite recently, actually, it was last week, you know, I was asking myself this, and the answer was resoundingly no. It was a little bit humbling to realize, like, oh man, even as a pastor, I don't do this. And I think as a pastor, sometimes we get, at least for me, I get lost because I'm insulated from the outside world, because I'm not in the workplace. No, my workplace is church. So I'm surrounded by Christians most of the time, because, you know, non-Christians don't generally walk into a church and be like, hey, can I talk to you about God? Sometimes they do, but not very often. And so I was having a conversation with my wife, and we were talking about going to Singapore in December just for fun, and bringing Jared along. And I have some old coworkers that are in Singapore. Actually, my old boss is there. And I was thinking, yeah, I should meet up with him just to chat and see how things are going, because he gave me my shot in Hong Kong. And, you know, through him, God blessed me, like, so much. And so I was talking to Cora about, you know, let me just meet him with him, chat with him, see how things are going. And Holy Spirit at that point said, you know, if you were to chat with him, would you pray for him? I'm like, no, that's so weird. Why would I do that? And then in that moment, I was like, oh, crap, that's right. You know, even in that moment, I'm like, I'm not fulfilling my duties as a royal priesthood. God has set me apart, as it says in 1 Peter, to do this work. This is the job that I've been called for. But yet I'm so willing to go for all the blessings, to go for my allotments, that, you know, the inheritance that God has promised. I so focus on that as opposed to, you know, what God has really called me to. But as I was going through this, I'm like, I don't think God necessarily wants us to, or wants to just give us this rebuke, like, you know, you should focus on doing the work and not the blessings, and, you know, bad on you for doing this. But I think what he really wanted to focus on was actually, going back to 1 Peter, was this idea of, you know, we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen race, and that we are a holy nation. You know, as we are chosen, you know, yes, we do have, God has asked us to partner with him, and God has asked us to do these things, but, you know, at the same time, he's also given us every single spiritual blessing. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. So we are a holy nation as Christians. We have been set apart, right? And because of this, we have been given every spiritual blessing. It's not that we are already holy, right, through Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and us believing in what he did and taking and accepting that he died for our sins, that now we are holy. And I think a lot of times that we lose sight of that we're trying to continually redeem ourselves, that we do things to show that, oh, you know, we're not sinful, and we have this mindset in us that, you know, I'm not righteous and I got to do all these things. But in that way, we tend to forget about Genesis chapter 1 to 3, where there was perfection in the world, that man walked with God, and that now we are back to that place. We have been redeemed. We have fellowship and communion with God again, and we can see him face to face because of what Jesus did. And I think part of that is what, you know, God wants us to hear today, that, you know, it's not just material blessing that he has given us, but he's also given us a spiritual blessing. He has given us his power to, you know, to do his work and to not be afraid and not fear and not feel like, oh, I gotta feel bad because I'm not doing these things. He wants to remind you that you guys have every spiritual blessing, that he has made you holy, that you are holy, and yeah, that you are holy, and that, yeah, he just wanted to remind you of that. So, if I can get Ernie to come up and lead us in worship. So let's take a moment and just reflect. How do you view yourself in light of God? Do you see yourself as holy and blameless, as chosen by God? Or do you view yourself as, oh, I'm not good enough yet. I'm working my way there. Because it really doesn't matter what we do. There's nothing that we can do. But the reality of the situation is that God has chosen us. Our identity is as His priesthood. Our identity is to do these things, not because so that we can get more blessings or that we can get more standing, but just because it's what we do. Right? We already have this inheritance. It's a perpetual allotment. We don't need to worry about it. And He will provide for it, just like He provided for the Levites. Like, He will give His material blessings, His earthly material possessions in abundance, beyond all that we can ask for. Right? All that is provided. So as we worship today, let Holy Spirit minister to you. Let Him speak to you, and just let Him remind you that He has redeemed you and He has set you apart. He has made you holy.
up this broken heart and light my way until my thirst is gone. Oh, Holy Spirit, let your work in me be done. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe in me like you.
Just as I was, as we were worshiping, I just felt Holy Spirit saying, you know, for those that, actually for everyone, you know, don't focus so much on what you haven't been doing. And you know, if you haven't been evangelizing or sharing the Word of God, it's, you know, don't focus on that. Focus on what God has given to you, the inheritance, and that He has set you apart to be holy and blameless, a holy nation. And that He's given you that grace, and that power to do this, and He's so pleased with the choices that, you know, you have made to follow Him, and just let it flow from there. So, Father, I pray, God, that You raise up each and every single one of my brothers and sisters today, God, that You give them encouragement and You fill their hearts with hope with renewal and you breathe life into them, God, that as they go out into this world, as they do their lives, God, that people will see that they are set apart and be drawn to them, Father. And give them the strength, give them the courage, Lord, to do the work that comes with being the children of God, the privilege that we have. Turning to our Wednesday, our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and recovering from surgery. Let's pray for those in our community that are sick and also need to receive Christ into their lives. Let's pray for them for open hearts, as well as their family members who have been praying for them, some of them for quite a long time. Let's continue to ask for God's strength and just perseverance in prayer. Let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from various infirmities. Just pray for God to come and provide healing. Let's pray. Let's also pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. Pray for God to open the right doors and just to give them wisdom and discernment when looking for jobs and evaluating opportunities that come to them. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for China today. Let's pray for SP Beijing, Pastor Hansu, and Chloe, and Enoch, and as a minister in that community up in Beijing. Let's pray for God's protection over that church, Let's also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and all the other churches in China, that they become a light and they shine light into the darkness and just change that country from within. Let's pray for the board. PSAM, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, and Mon, the secretary. Let's pray just for God's wisdom and discernment to come upon them, for Holy Spirit to speak to them as they make decisions for the church and our direction. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, the men's ministry, Monday morning prayer, the PD groups, men's fraternity groups taking a break. Let's also pray for women's ministry, the ladies discipleship group, as well as the fellowship group, young adults, and Springs, Love After Marriage. It's starting soon, so let's pray for that as well. Let's pray for the couples that have signed up. I think there's 11 couples sign up for this round of Lamb. So let's pray that God does powerful things and heals marriages within our church. Let's pray for the SPLI courses, course that's happening tonight, the art and science of reading the Bible. As people come, may they come to a deeper understanding of God's Word and how God speaks to the Bible. And lastly, let's pray for a mission trip. Even though it's in Hong Kong, it's still a mission trip. For Shanti VBS, let's pray that the children that come just encounter the love of Christ, and just pray for the love of Christ to overflow from all the servants and volunteers that are going. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for everything that you've given to us, and that you have set us apart, Lord, and that you have given us every spiritual blessing, God, and including just being satisfied, Lord, being content, Father, with the things that you've given to us. And Father, I pray, God, that you give us, or you fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit every single day, God, that we can show the world just how wonderful you are, God, that you can work through us to convey your blessings to them as well, to convey your grace, Father. So we thank you, God. I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, that you bless them. Lord, may your favor shine upon them, God, today. We thank you. We love you. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.